There we go.
Red on all the time.
Yes. Have you ever watched that programme Crocodile Dundee? Where they're in the bar, and if you haven't watched it, they're in the bar and there's this huge great bloke, and they're talking about bits and pieces, and he says something like this: "Aren't you afraid?" And he says, "No, I have a donk." And they go, "What's a donk?" And this guy goes, "Boom. Well, I have a Nigel. So I don't need to worry when he's in the room about technology, because that's working, yes?" Right. I want to share with us something that I do believe that God has placed this on my heart, and I do hope that I'm able to do it justice, because it's a series of scriptures that have been threaded together, and I just want to bring something out, because Christ is enough. And I know when we talk about signs and wonders, and we talk about miracles, and we talk about the promises of God, I know in my life that I will experience, and this is only the first of many that we will see and people will give testimony to, but throughout our lives, we have a now moment. Throughout our lives at times, we have a poignant moment where we say, "Yes, Lord, this is what you've called me for. For such a time as this came into my mind a while ago." Because we can look at, "Lord, what are you doing? What have you done?" And that's already been prayed over me. It's not about what he's done then. It's what he has to do now and what he's doing in the future. So I want to bring something out that the Lord shared with me, gave me revelation on many, many years ago. And because of the way in which I've heard it ministered on over the years, I've been a little bit reluctant about preaching on it. But I want you to get the same revelation and have the same heart about this subject that I have. And there's a couple of things in church life that you don't hear much about now. And it's quite sad. And to realise that we are Christians and we can go to some churches and not hear about sin seems a bit strange to me. And we can go to some churches and never hear about the blood of Christ, the blood that was shed. I've shared this before, and I'll share it again for those that are new into our church. When I was a young Christian, many moons ago, I went to a Christian conference, and I was sitting amongst 200 other people who was listening to a very articulate professor who was speaking about Jesus being the substitute that hung on the cross. And everything he said was fine by me. I was a young Christian, didn't understand much, but what he was saying made sense to me from what I'd read. And then he made this statement, and he said, "Of course, you would have all heard about the shedding of the blood of Christ." And we're all nodding, yeah. He said, "Well, that's really irrelevant." And can you imagine, as a mature Christian, how that would make you feel? As a young Christian, I knew that there was something wrong with that statement. It's irrelevant. But that's a statement that is being preached throughout churches all over the world at the moment. It's irrelevant. It's about how you feel. It's not about what Christ says about you. See, the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sins. So if there's no forgiveness of sins, we're still sinners. It's the truth of it, isn't it? So I want to speak briefly, if you haven't worked out, on the blood of Christ. And I just want to bring some scripture and just encourage you to understand how significant the blood of Christ is. Now, you would have heard it time and time again, and you may be one of those that have that revelation of the power of the blood. We used to be in a home group together, Nigel, Emma, Susan, and I, and there'd be John and Paul and Carol would go, this power, this wonder-working power in the blood. In the blood. And there are some people that go, "Don't talk about the blood because it's sticky and it's messy and it's yuck." Now, without the shedding of blood, the Bible says there's no forgiveness of sin. So I am grateful for the shed blood on the cross. And I just want to read one or two scriptures. I trust that you'll get my heart and see where I'm going with this. I want to read from Genesis 3, verse 21. "The Lord made garments of skin for Adam and his wife, and he clothed them." Some translation says, "And he covered them." Now, they were naked. They didn't understand they were naked until they sinned. Sin brings a separation and it brings a nakedness and the need to be a covering. And although they've got some leaves and tried to hide up their nakedness, it wasn't sufficient for God. So he had to, obviously, to use skins, he had to kill an animal. There had to be blood that was shed to bring a covering, yes? That's where we get that mention of the covering of God. So the other word that I believe that's been really impressed upon me just lately is the covenant of God. And there was a covenant relationship right there when they were covered by skins. An animal, there had to be a sacrifice in order to cover their nakedness. And we continue in Genesis 4 verse 7 where it says this, if you do right, and we're talking about Cain and Abel here, if you do right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, and you must rule over it. You see, sin is there to crouch and to try and ambush us, but we must have mastery of it. How do we do that? I'm glad you asked. Because we're covered by the blood of Christ. There is power, wonder, working power in the blood of the Lamb. And when you look through this portion of Scripture, and we've been through these Scriptures many times with Mike in our home group, and he's obviously gone a lot deeper than me. This is just on the surface, but just to say, we can look at it, we can see what commentators say, we can see what it says to us, and we think, well, hang on, that's a bit unfair, God. You know, this man here, he works the land, and he bought some of the vegetables that he was producing, and you rejected it. This man, he works with the animals, and he slaughtered one of his animals, and you accepted it. That's a bit unfair. But what God says here is, if you do what is right. I wonder if there was a covenant that was made with God's people, that because of the shedding of the blood, there needed to be an offering. There needed to be a sin offering, a sacrifice. Yes? So maybe what God is saying to these two brothers is, there needs to be something between you and me that puts the sin right. There was lots of talk about the burnt offerings. The law hadn't come in yet. But I believe, as I read through Scripture, that there was a covenant that was made, and it has to do with blood. And God will say to me, and he will say to you, if you do what is right, you will be accepted. But if you don't, sin is right there at the door. And that's the problem, isn't it? Sin is always right there at the door. So we need to be a people, I believe, that will do what is right and believe what God has said about us, so that when sin crouches at the door, we know that we're covered. And we're covered by his grace, but we're also covered by his blood, because without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sins. Now, this portion of Scripture doesn't make sense. I just put it in here so that I could remind myself of what the Lord has said to me. And this is in Esther verse 4, and I want to encourage you with this. For if you remain silent, is being said to Esther, at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. If you remain silent. And it's the same for me and you. If we remain silent when it comes to sharing God's word, he will bring that salvation to that person, that situation, that circumstance through someone else. Have you ever been in the church service where you really feel that God is speaking to you? And you go, do I go and share that or not? And just as you decide, maybe, someone else says exactly the same thing. I knew that was God. See, if you don't, if you remain silent, God will use someone else. And that's what he's saying to me at this time. Andrew, if you remain silent, I'll use someone else. So I say, here I am, Lord, use me. And when we say, here I am, use me, we need to, I believe, as a source of encouragement, be reminded that we're not on our own. It's not about me against the world, is it? Me, myself, and I'm not an island. I'm part of a body. I'm part of an army. And it's the Lord's army. I'm covered by the blood of the Lamb, yes, but I'm also given the weapons of warfare. His word is sharper than any two-edged sword. So it's to encourage us for such a time as this. Whether we're in the family or in the workplace or on the streets, there's a war, isn't there? And sin is always crouching at our door. But if we do what is right, then we will be overcomers. We'll be above our circumstances, not under our circumstances. Staying with Genesis 4, verse 10, the Lord said, what have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out. There was a murder that had taken place. And yet God turns around, what have you done? Your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven far from me. You see, if the blood of man can still speak, how much more the blood of Christ? The blood of the Lamb. See, when we think about blood, we can either go that is sticky and tacky and yucky, or we can go, how precious is the blood of the Lamb? When we realise that when someone says the blood of Christ is irrelevant, then that's a nonsense and a non-starter when it comes to faith. Because we need to be reminded, without that sacrifice, without that shedding, there is no covering. And by faith is how we receive that. By faith is how we walk. And we look through God's word, and when he speaks about his blood in the old covenant, the old testament, and then he comes into the new testament, he says, the old is gone. It's just as it was spoken to me and Susan, the old is gone, the new has come. The new has come. And that's where we need to be, I believe, as we go forward, understanding. And maybe you do fully understand about the blood of Christ. Maybe you do fully understand about the sacrifice that was given so that you could be covered, that your shame could be covered. And much more than that, Scripture tells us it's atoned for, it's been paid for. We've been justified, we've been sanctified, we've been set apart. You know, yes, we feel frail. When we get up in the morning and our legs don't work the way we want them to, and our shoulders ache and our back is, yes, we feel frail. But we are still covered by his glory. We're still covered by his blood. Just as we can say with confidence, as I sat with Jeffrey by his bed and prayed into his life with confidence, I could say to that man, the Lord says, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Why? Because that's the hope in which we preach and that we receive. Why? Because he died so we could live. And that's how precious his blood is. So if we can look in the Old Testament and see that the blood of man, humanity cries out, how much more the blood of Jesus will speak on our behalf. In Genesis, staying with that, verse 9, Genesis 9, verse 16. Whenever the rainbow appears, what's this got to do with blood? Nothing. But whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth. See, God's made a covenant with us. And because of his shed blood and our faith in what he's already done, there's a covenant for us. So when we look around us, we can see reminders of his covenant. Now, we know that this particular covenant of the rainbow is to say, I will not flood the earth again. And it doesn't matter whether there's a rainbow for the alphabet or a rainbow for NHS. We know that when we see that symbol, it's a covenant of God's promise to us as people, don't we? But it's not just us as people, it's a covenant to everybody. It covers the NHS, doesn't it? It covers all the pride flag. It covers everything. Because why? Because God doesn't just shine on the righteous, he shines on the unrighteous so that he can give them an opportunity to accept that blood sacrifice as well. So it's good news for all of us. So we're talking about his blood, we're talking about his covenant to us as people, and we're also talking about his promise to humanity. You see, Jesus came. He didn't come to condemn the world, he came to free the world. But he is coming back, isn't he? So there's one thing we don't hear much about, and that's sin in church. We don't hear much about his blood, and we don't hear much about his coming again. But he's coming to judge. And do you know who he's going to judge first? You. Then me. No, he's going to judge us, isn't he? His church. My goodness. And as leaders, if anyone here has a desire to be a leader, I just want to encourage you with this verse. You will be doubly held accountable. Just want to encourage you with that. That's why it's important for us to share the truth of God's word. And that's why it's important for you to weigh up the truth and put it right if it's not come across the right way. That's why I have people like Mike who will say, what did you mean by that, Andrew? And Nigel that says, you've got that verse back to front. Because we want to preach the truth, don't we? Amen? Amen. And the blood of Christ is the truth in our lives, that it covers us from all unrighteousness, but we need to accept it. So this word is to encourage us and enable us to be who God has called us to be. And also, just put something else that the Lord spoke to me, and I just hope he can speak to you in the same way, and you don't misinterpret what I'm trying to say before we get to the end of this. I will explain. Genesis 17, verse 10. This is my covenant with you and your descendants. After you, the covenant you are to keep, every male amongst you must be circumcised. Now, praise be to the Lord. I'm not under the old covenant. I'm under the new covenant, where it says I'm circumcised in the heart. But there was a covenant. Yes, it was a covenant of the flesh, but there was also blood involved. If you understand the process of circumcision, but God made a promise. If you do this, then I will do that. And the same promise is given to me and you. If you accept my son, I accept you. If you understand what was given to you through the shedding of the blood, my son's blood on the cross, if you understand the fullness of what that means, then you can tap into the fullness of what I have for you. And that's what we need to understand as a church, I believe, as individuals going forward, that nothing is impossible, that God is able. But even if you don't, Lord, I'm still going to bow and worship you and not the other gods. I'm still going to serve you. I'm still going to give to you. I'm still going to be a portion of clay that you can mold and shape into what you want me to be. God is a covenant God. In Romans, going into the New Testament, the New Covenant, Romans 2:28, a person is not a Jew who is one only outwardly, nor is circumcision merely an outward or physical thing. No, a person is a Jew, is a member of God's household, who is one inwardly. The circumcision is a circumcision of the heart by the Spirit, not by the written code, not by the law, such as a person's praise is not from other people, but from God. So to take the words that I spoke out of my own heart and then bring it into Scripture, it talks about the circumcision, the covenant that we have is not an external, but it's an internal process. But it's given by the Spirit, and we receive it by the Spirit by faith. And that's why without faith it's impossible, Scripture says, to please God. So I want you to have faith. Put your trust in Him. But Pastor, I don't feel as if I can. But it's not about what we feel, is it? It's about what He says. So my question is, and you don't need to answer it loud, my question is, do you trust Him? I used to say this in church many years ago, do you trust me? And then people got nervous because they knew that I was going to say something which could be very, very challenging. But I want to say, do you trust Him? See, it's not about us, is it? It's about Him, what He's done. If you truly believe that when Jesus hung on the cross, and He said it is finished, it was finished. You can say, yeah, but you don't understand, Pastor, that I've said this and I've done this and this is how I act. And just ask my wife, just ask my husband how I can be. You don't understand, yeah, but you don't understand. He paid for that. So what do? You accept it. How do I do that? By faith. Yeah, but aren't I? No. You're covered. You see, when God covers us, He covers us, doesn't He? If you go to sleep at night and you're someone that puts a duvet over your head, you're not half covered, you're fully covered. Yeah? You're not half dead, you're either dead or you're alive. You're not half married, are we, Susan? We're fully married. You did get prayer today, so that was good. You get where I'm going, though. I can't help but be excited about these scriptures. I can't help but be enthusiastic about what God has said in my life, and I want you to share some of that revelation. In Exodus 30 verse 10, once a year Aaron shall make atonement. He'll bring the sinful man and God, bring them together as one through what? Let me see. Atonement on its horns. The annual atonement must be made with the blood of an atoning sin offering. For the generations to come, it must be holy to the Lord. You see, there needed to be a sinless and spotless sacrifice. It had to be brought on an annual basis for the sin of the priest and the sin of the people. There's time and time again, we'll read in the Old Testament, where there was a thank offering, there was a burnt offering, there was a drink offering, and there's a sin offering. And that's what the Old Testament says. But because we're in a new day, by faith we accept that part of life, that law that no one could keep, that had to come on a daily basis, a weekly basis, a monthly basis, a yearly basis, and have their sin atoned for. We, by faith, can accept that covering once and for all. So does that mean that we don't have to come to God with our sin offering? It does in that sense, but we have to come to him on a daily basis, weekly basis, monthly basis, with a humble heart and say, create in me a clean heart, Lord. Renew a right spirit. But here's the good news. If you've accepted that blood covenant with God through the death of his son Jesus Christ, through the blood that was shed, then your sins have been covered. And as far as your eternal inheritance is concerned, you're going to heaven, not going to hell. But there is a process while we're here on this earth that we can be cleansed on a regular basis by our confession. Yes, because of the blood that was shed. And as I look through his word, I am so thankful for what he has given through revelation to us. We are so blessed with his word. In Matthew 26, verse 28, this is my blood, Jesus said. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Why? For the forgiveness of sins. Then we know this, don't we? But it's just good to be reminded of it, because some of the foundational things that we're so familiar with, they can be so familiar we forget to use them. There's times where I go to the store or B&Q, and there are other supermarkets and shops available, and I buy something because I can't find where that something was and I know I have it. And there are times where I look in a drawer, or I look somewhere else, or in the shed, or
not under the car seat,
and I find the very thing that I was looking for, and sometimes I didn't even realise I had it. Why? Because I get so familiar with thinking that I know where something is going to be, that when I need it, I can't find it. And it's like that, hopefully you get this, it's like that sometimes with our faith. We become so familiar with these scriptures. For Christ has set us free, I'm set free. Christ has redeemed us, I'm redeemed. Christ has covered me, but I'm covered by the blood. And sometimes when we're in the thick of that battle, sometimes when we need to have the right answer at the right time, the wisdom that God says he gives us, we forget about. And it comes from the flesh instead of from the spirit. So I want to remind us about the armour of God. I want to remind us about the goodness of God. I want to remind us about the covering that we have through the shed blood of Jesus. Because without that, then nothing else matters, does it? Nothing else matters. When that man said to me, it's irrelevant, my blood started to boil. I started to sweat. I started to sit on my hands. And these thoughts came to me. Somebody ought to say something. Just remind me, I'm on Matthew 26, because I'm going back up. Someone ought to say something. In Esther 4:14, for if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will not come. It will come from another place. There are going to be times like there was then. This young man in his early 30s that was sitting in front of this eloquent man who seemed to know everything about scripture and the gospel, and he put it across in such a way, told a lie. And if I remained silent, then deliverance would come from somewhere else. So I did speak. And that was the beginning of me never ever again wanting to say someone ought to say something. But maybe God will challenge you with that. This is the time to speak. If you remain silent, God will use someone else. How many times did we pray that prayer? God, use me. I'll share this challenge with you. I was on Matthew, wasn't I? I'll share this challenge with you. I remember going into church one day feeling very sorry for myself. And I said, God, I just feel so used. And he says, well, I answered your prayer. God, use me. And there are times we're like that, isn't there? Isn't it? It's times we feel that we've been walked on and trod on. But here's the truth. If you're covered by the blood of the Lamb, you'll allow people to walk over you as long as they get to Christ. Because you could be the very stepping stone that bridges the gap, so someone else can walk over you to get to him. And the only way that we can sustain this, the only way that we can walk forward, I believe, is having that fresh revelation of what God has done through the shedding of his blood. It's not just for the forgiveness of sins. It's for our protection. It's for our healing. It's for our wholeness. He said it's finished. It means it's complete. Nothing broken, nothing missing. And it's all found because of the shedding of the blood of Christ, and we receive it by faith. In Acts 20, verse 25, starting there. Now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again, Paul says. I'm going somewhere where I'd rather you not be at this moment. In verse 26, therefore I declare to you today that I'm innocent of the blood of any of you. And he says that because he's preached the truth. And that's a good term, isn't it? I'm innocent of your blood because I've preached the truth. And that's what God wants me and you to do. But we need to understand the truth before we can share it. Verse 27, I have not hesitated to proclaim the whole will of God. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. He's talking to leaders here. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he, Jesus, bought with his own blood. You see, salvation is not cheap. It costs. But it's been paid for by Jesus. And that's the revelation of the blood of Christ. The wages of sin is death, an eternal separation from God. The gift of God is life, eternal, through the shedding of the blood of Christ. But we need to receive it afresh by faith. He's encouraging them to be shepherds. He says, listen, your debt was paid for by the blood, by his own blood. He poured it out. I know that after I leave, Paul says, savage wolves will come in among you. And they will not spare the flock, even from your own number. Men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after themselves. So be on your guard. So as Christians, we're encouraged to be on our guard. And as we are those that will stand firm with the fullness of the armor of God, we need to be on our guard. We need to stand firm. And we need to know that we're covered by his blood. Nothing is impossible for God, is it? Nothing is impossible. And do you know what? I dare to say this, that when we pray, it's impossible for God not to have heard us. Why? Because we're in relationship. Why? Glad you asked. Because we have a covenant. He says he'll do this if we do that. And when we accept that shedding of his blood on the cross, we come into an eternal covenant. It's not just like in the Old Testament where the slaves were set free. And if they want to serve their master, the scripture says this, that they'd take an awl, a sharp stick, and they'd put it through their earlobe into the doorpost or the door of their master. And that would say, through this covenantal action where my blood has been shed and I've pierced my ear to your door, that means I want to serve you forever. I'm a slave that's been set free, but I want to serve you. Now, we've been set free from sin, but we're now slaves to righteousness, aren't we? We have a right standing with God, and we have that because of his shed blood. So I want to encourage you with these words, and I want to continue to read and bring this source of encouragement so that we can receive that revelation afresh. In Romans 3, verse 21, but now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. Now this righteousness, the righteousness that the writer is talking about here, this righteousness is given not by the law, but by faith in Christ Jesus, to whom we all believe. You see, there's a covenant relationship. There's a righteousness, a right standing with God. And I know we know these verses, but we've been made righteous with God because of the covenant that we have through the shedding of Christ's blood to all who believe. So there's the two-way system there. God says you can take it, we need to accept it. We need to receive it. There is no difference between the Jew and the Gentile. For all have sinned, meaning everyone, there's no one righteous, no, not one. We've all sinned and fallen short. We have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And we are all justified freely by his grace. We don't have to pay because he has. We don't have to pay because he has. We are all justified just as if I'd not sinned. He's wiped it away freely by the grace through the redemption. We've been redeemed, which means the price has been paid for. If you take something to a pawn shop in the sense of where you take a watch, if I take my watch and they say, well, that's worth £1,000, and I give it to them, then I say I'll come back and pay it, it means I'm going to redeem this item. I'm going to pay the price to get it back. And that's what Jesus did for me and you. And it's just to remind us, because I know as Christians we know this, it's to remind us to be fully covered, fully prepared for when the wind of adversity comes, the Bible says, not if, when the day of evil comes, not if, then we will be those that can stand and stand firm, knowing that we don't just have his armour, but we're also covered by his blood. Let's read on. Justified freely by the grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. Verse 25. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood. So everything I've said, he's just said. To be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness before his forbearance. He had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. In verse 26, he did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. So do you have faith in Jesus? Then you're justified. And you have more power than you believe you have. You have more at your disposal than you believe you have. You're not covered by the fig leaf, are you? You're covered by the blood. The blood of the Lamb. You're covered. You're set free. You're redeemed. You are who God says you are through Christ Jesus. In Ephesians 2, verse 13, it says this, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ." See, the blood of Jesus will bring you near to God. So if there's times where you feel that you're far from him, if there's times where you feel, "Lord, I can't hear you. Lord, I can't see you. I can't touch you." If you feel that you are far from him, then remind yourself that you've been given the opportunity to come close to him because of the blood of Jesus. You see, the difference between the mile and the minute's walk is our faith. So we can leave God over there, or we can bring him close and allow him to bring us close. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups, the Jew and the Gentile. He's destroyed the barrier, the wall. There's a division. There was a division in the temple as well, wasn't there? There was a curtain. And we know, if we know our Old Testament tabernacle, we know that there was a curtain that separated man, humanity, from God, from his presence. And only the priest was allowed in, and that once a year. Yes? And when Jesus died, what did he say? "It is finished." And scripture tells us that the curtain that separated me and you from him was torn. And it gave us access. And we got access because of his blood that was shed once and for all. He destroyed the barrier, the wall, the dividing hostility by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace in the one body to reconcile both of them, Jew and Gentile, to God. Through what? Through the cross, by which he was put to death. And he put to death their hostility. Everything was nailed on the cross. Your sin, past, present and future, has been nailed to the cross. You've been covered by his blood. He came and preached peace to you and to me who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him, Jesus Christ, we both have access to the Father by the one Spirit. These are not just words that I put together. This is what Scripture says. Because of that sacrifice of atonement, because we've been redeemed by his blood, God has given us access to him. So one of the things I want to remind you of is this. It's good to pray one with another, isn't it? Yes, it's good to pray one with another. But you also need to understand that you have access to God yourself. You can go directly to his throne room. You can receive the peace directly from him. That peace that transcends all understanding. Though you walk through that valley experience, yes? Whether you're going through bereavement, or whether you're going through a tough time at work, or whether there's issues in your marriage, whether there's issues with your neighbours, whether there's financial, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual circumstances, you can go directly to God. Why? Glad you asked. Because you're covered by his blood. He gives you access. Just a few moments more. Please bear with me. In Hebrews 9 verse 11. But when Christ came as a high priest of all the good things that are now already here, he, Christ, went through a greater and a more perfect tabernacle. He went through a perfect tabernacle that is not made of human hands. That is to say, is not part of this creation. He did not enter by the means of blood of goats or calves, but he entered the most holy place once and for all by his own blood. Scripture backs up what Scripture says. He entered it by his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption once and for all. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of the heifer is sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean. They sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. Excuse me. Verse 14. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God? For this reason, Christ is the mediator of the new covenant. The new covenant. We cannot fulfill the law, but it's been fulfilled in Christ. It was fulfilled when he hung on the cross and said, "It's finished," when he shed his blood as a perfect atonement for me and you. And we have access to that blood, don't we? We are covered by that blood. We are redeemed by that blood. God, in his mercy, gave us salvation. In Revelation 1:4, it says this: to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Christ Jesus, who is the faithful and wise, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood. He's our high priest. He's our mediator. We get to God through the shed blood of Jesus. Now, I know many of you know this, but I'm reminding us so that we can be encouraged afresh. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 25, in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying this: "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this, whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. From whenever you eat this bread or drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." When you participate in the communal service, when you take of that cup of wine or juice, then it symbolizes his death, his resurrection, and his coming again. It symbolizes what he paid in order for us to go free. So when we take communion next time, let's remember the power that's in the blood and that old song. This power, power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. 1 Corinthians 11, in the same way, verse 25, the same way, after supper, he took the cup. Do this. In Exodus 12:21, Moses summoned all the elders of Israel and said to them, "Go at once and select the animals from your home." I'm going to condense this because I'd like our worship team to come back, and we have a few minutes just to worship the Lord. But while they're doing that, I want to say to us, this same process speaks to us today. Moses said, "Listen, I want you to take a lamb, and I want you to take the lamb in accordance with the size of your family. I want you to sacrifice this lamb." because there's going to be an angel of death that comes over. What I want you to do is I want you to sacrifice a lamb. I want you to take the blood after you've done what I've told you to do. I want you to take some hyssop, and the blood is in the bowl. I want to take the hyssop, and I want you to dip the hyssop in the bowl. And you want, I want you to apply this symbolic blood of the sacrificial lamb over the door of your home. Yes, over the doorpost of your house. Remember what Scripture says: when we do what is right, God will justify us and free us. When we don't do, sin is at our door. Well, sin was at their door, and they were told in the old covenant to cover their doorposts, their lives, their hearts, their very persons with the blood of a sacrificial lamb. How much more the blood of Jesus for me and you? How much more the blood of Jesus for me and you? Revelation, my final scripture. Revelation 12, verse 11. They, who are they? They're us. We are the they. They overcome him. Who's him? The devil. We overcome the devil. How? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, they did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. They overcome the enemy by the words they spoke in the blood of the Lamb. When we understand, and I'm not putting words into Scripture, weigh this up for yourself according to what God says. When we understand the significance of the blood of Christ, when we can put that into words and we can say, Lord, I thank you for your blood that was shed for my sin. I can thank you for your blood that was shed for my health, my wholeness, my finances, my family. Lord, cover me afresh. Lord, I apply your blood. How do you apply his blood? By the word of our testimony. By speaking it out. This is not a recipe for you to go, Lord, I apply the blood on this and this and it becomes a ritual. No, it becomes a truth. A truth for me. Lord, I apply your blood. I plead your blood over the doorpost of my home, the doorpost of my family, the doorpost of my heart, the doorpost of my finances, the doorpost, Father God, of everything you've called me to do. I apply your blood over me so that I am covered. And you can do the same. You can overcome the enemy in your life by the word of your testimony and the blood of the shed Lord. Amen. Amen.